You're listening to Geekcast Radio on GeekcastRadio.com.
Hello and welcome to the Geekcast Radio Network. Oops, that's the old script. Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio, the flagship show of the Geekcast Radio Network. Today is a discussion on why and how television, network television, has gone down the tubes. I am your host, TFG1 Mike, and I am joined by a booth ninja. Hello.
Hello.
And as usual, Steve Megatron.
Hello.
Yes. I got the idea for this because there's so many shows on TV now that I just can't stand. Heroes being one, Supernatural being one. Let's see, Lost.
Okay.
See where I'm going with this? there's just so much. Like, I can count on one hand how many TV shows I actually watch on either NBC, ABC, Fox, or CBS. 24, NCIS, Smallville, Gossip Girl, and The Big Bang Theory. That's five shows. That's it.
CW's not even broadcast television.
Well, they're close enough, but you get the point, though. So that's where the idea for this episode came about. It's like, And on top of that, all these damn vampire and werewolf shows.
There's one that I know of, two that I know of, and they're actually both pretty good.
Vampire Diaries and True Blood.
Exactly.
I like
both of them.
No. If I want to watch a vampire show, I'm going to watch either Buffy or Angel.
I'm not going to watch either one of those, even though I am a big fan of Joss Whedon, but primarily only for Firefly.
Well, I gathered information from Wiki just to, kind of really prove my own point. The fact that the shows that I used to watch when I was younger, like Cheers, Family Ties, Knight Rider, Airwolf, A-Team, Magnum, MacGyver, the Cosby Show, there used to be a whole lot of good TV on, and now, at least in my own opinion, there is nothing that I'm interested in that the networks are currently running outside of the ones that I already said.
Well, TV for me went down the tubes when reality TV came about. And reality TV came about, it started to get into my little, I have to clarify, before 2004, TV was almost non-existent to me. Like, I watched TV, but I had no idea what a season was. I couldn't tell you the difference between, like, a season finale and a series finale. But that all changed in 2004 when ABC Family actually picked up the rights to redistribute Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning. And I started watching, Smallville was actually the first TV show I started watching from the beginning, and that's because ABC Family was playing them. They had, like, a freaking marathon where they played, like, every season up to, I think, season four, like over an entire weekend or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I got hooked on the show from there, and then I started watching it on a weekly basis, and then I just started, like, picking up shows. I think it went, like, Smallville, and then I picked up, I picked up the first season of Desperate Housewives. I made it, like, three episodes into the second season, and I'm like, I'm done.
I think I made it to the end of the second season of that show, but after that, I was done.
Well, but going back to what I said before, like, before that TV, I didn't really get the whole idea behind TV. That I didn't get, like, stuff airs at certain times, and it's not on every week and stuff like that. But TV went on a decline for me after Home Improvement left the air. And right about that time, for some reason to me, it seemed like that's when reality TV started taking off.
Well, reality TV actually got launched, at least here in America, in the year 2000 with Survivor and Big Brother. They were the first two reality shows that you could choose from. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to watch a show with giant bugs and creepy crawly things and people out in the fucking wilderness. I'm just not. So I gravitated to Big Brother. And I have watched, I think, every season of that show up until the last couple ones I haven't really paid attention to. You know, but yeah, reality TV is pretty much taken over, which sucks.
Well, I can safely say I have not watched one iota of reality television. I refuse. I cannot because whether it's like scripted or not, it's up for debate. It's piss poor television.
You know, what's up with all these reality shows that are about people? Like the Osbournes and the Hogans and Mr. T and...
Well, that's all MTV.
Well, even so, reality TV is just a cop-out for coming up with new original ideas.
Exactly.
It's just their way of, let's put something on TV that people will watch because there's nothing else on TV.
If they need a filler in mid-season and they don't have something sitting on the back burner, they will make something up. And the big studio behind that is the studio I hate the most, and that is Fox.
You know, what was I going to say? Crap, I can't remember now. I don't know. You know, there's been very few reality shows that I will watch. I so don't get the appeal of American Idol whatsoever. I watched the first season, and after that, I was done.
Well, quite frankly, that show is pretty much dead.
Well, yeah. Oh, I know what I was going to say. All these TV remakes, I just did. I just covered two news articles on This Week in Geek's Nerd News Network that's out now. You can go over to thisweekingeek.net to get that, or you can get it off of our homepage, geekcastradio.com. But I did two news articles about the fact that they're remaking Hawaii Five-0 and The Rockford Files.
Isn't Hawaii Five-0 being made into a movie?
No, it's been being made for CBS television.
Is it? There's somebody big behind it, though.
Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orsi are writing it, and they are producing it.
That's fine. They can do no wrong, in my opinion.
Well, go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, since the Star Trek movie, they've actually done pretty well.
Anyone that collaborates in or around J.J. Abrams' circle can do no wrong.
True. And speaking of J.J. Abrams' circle, another great television show that happened in 2001, which I had no idea they wrote on it until I started doing a series marathon, was Alias. I had no idea Of course, before the Transformers movies, I never knew who the fuck they were anyway. But, I mean, since their fame off of Transformers and Star Trek, when I was going back and watching Alias, I saw they had written a few episodes in season two of Alias, which...
I can't get into that show.
Your girlfriend can, though, can't she?
She hasn't watched what I've downloaded, but she doesn't get a chance to watch a lot of TV. But I can't. It doesn't. There's nothing in that show that hooks me. I don't know what it is. Impossible 3 was a much better Alias than that was.
What about you, Steve?
As for, like, modern TV, pretty much all I watch is Heroes, hoping that it'll actually go back to the greatness that season one had.
Well, boo.
So far nothing's happened.
I can't agree with you on season one.
Well, season one was all right. I mean, the whole series has kind of been up and down, roller coaster-ish. It's not so much that season one was good, it was just that it was... more they had a direction, whereas now it's just every which way.
Well, I really like season 4 the best, because I First of all, I just want to say I eat up any scene with Siler.
Oh yeah.
I will stop whatever I'm doing and I will focus my attention on just that man. And the minute he steps off scene, my attention is gone elsewhere. I won't pay attention to anything else.
Well, he's pretty much the show. If you don't have him, the show kind of is just bland and sucks.
But the problem I have with Heroes is the same problem I have with Smallville. And that neither one of them has the budget to show me what I want to see.
Yeah, don't even get me started on Smallville, because that's probably going to eventually be its own episode on this podcast. But Smallville, my overall opinion of the show now, they just need to put them in the fucking costume and end the show.
Oh, but they can't. It's getting a 10th season, or 9th season.
Well, that's what I'm... it's getting a 10th season, but that's what I'm saying. Next year, 10th season, put him in the fucking costume, give him 10 episodes, and end the fucking show.
No, just wait. Just wait. David Goyer and Chris Nolan and Jonathan Nolan will put him in the Superman movie.
Probably. But the thing is, though, the whole premise behind Smallville, when it originally aired, when... Alfred Goff and Miles Millar started it, was the young adventures or the teenage adventures of Clark Kent with him growing up, going through, you know, Earth-style puberty with superpowers. He's not a fucking teenager anymore.
Well, no.
They either need to put him in the costume and end the show or change the name of the show to Metropolis or I don't know, something other, you know, Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman Part 2 or something. I don't know.
I understand why he won't put the suit on, but even if he did put the suit on, the show still doesn't have the money to show me what I want to see.
Sure.
But anyways, Steve, you were talking about your shows.
But pretty much the only other show I watch that's new, other than Heroes, which is on its break, is Supernatural. Which I've liked this show since the beginning. It's just that now it's starting to drag on. And then at the same time, they're talking about another, about having a sixth season when supposedly they're going to, defeat, Lucifer in season 5, which makes you wonder, okay, what's next if you kill Lucifer?
God.
Yeah, well, that's what they're kind of leading up to, considering he's nowhere to be found. But at the same time, I kind of get sick of watching this show just because every other, like, you watch 3 episodes and then the CW has it on a month and a half long break. And
that's the same thing with Gossip Girl.
Well, I mean, I just get tired of it on CW because I'd just rather wait until it comes on a DVD.
True.
Just because they keep putting so many damn holes in between it, whereas Heroes pretty much runs consistently on through. Might have like a month gap for holiday season, and then it's back. Whereas Supernatural had a 2-month gap in between, and then played like 3 or 4 episodes, and now they're on another month long gap, and so they'll be back at the end of the month. So I don't know. Just network television in general just kind of sucks on how they play any new show.
True.
Other than when it's reality TV, because that's where they're putting all their focus because it's cheap.
I think in 2004 is when 2004 was when I really started watching game shows again, obviously, with Ken Jennings attaining celebrity status after a 74-game winning streak on Jeopardy. I hadn't watched Jeopardy in probably 8 years before this happened.
Never watched an episode.
You know, teach their own. I just remember growing up with my grandmother and my grandfather watching Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy because they used to come on every night, 7 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So it's one of those nostalgic things, I guess.
I think, personally for me, that 2004 is when I got really into TV, but I also think that's when TV started to take a turn, especially ABC for the most part. I mean, they came out of nowhere with Desperate Housewives and Lost, and just it. Like, I stopped watching Desperate Housewives, so I can't really speak about it. But I just watched all 5 seasons of Lost in like a month.
Yeah.
And First of all, I'm going to say that anybody that's known with that show from the beginning, I feel for them, because there's no way that I could I'm having trouble right now when it's in its sixth and final season. I'm having trouble watching it on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. I would have like killed myself trying to watch that show on a weekly basis. I was able to watch it all five seasons straight through in like a month, and it is probably the best definition of an episodic story arc or what have you in a TV show that I have ever seen. Because it doesn't treat you like an idiot. It is literally the definition of a TV show that if you miss an episode, you are fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I enjoy that. I like intelligent TV like that. And that's one of the problems I have with Heroes is that the first 15 minutes is recapping the last episode. The last 15 minutes is recapping the episode you just saw, which gives you 15 minutes of a story. But you're getting, and then they just repeat that over and over and over. So you're only getting 15 minutes of forward movement in every episode.
Now, see, I'm gonna have to watch next Monday night. I'm gonna have to watch. We're recording this on Tuesday the 9th, or Wednesday the 10th, whatever you want to call it. But next Monday night, I'm gonna have to watch 24 and time those intro outros where they show the previously on and like the recap of the episode, because 24 does that as well. I think they do it a lot better.
There's a difference in a recap. Heroes to me doesn't recap anything.
Yeah.
Like it is like there's a recap where it's like, you know, 30 seconds of like just stuff that you need to know. Like Lost does that. They'll like there's like 30 seconds of stuff that you need to know, and you know, sometimes they'll go way back to like season 1 stuff and you're in season 4. And that's fine. But I'm saying like Lost is like a literal like recap of the episode you just watched on top of stuff that they're bringing in from other, there's not a lot of forward movement in Lost, or not Lost, Heroes, and that's one of the things that really bothers me about the show.
See, I will never watch Heroes because I come from the aspect of I've seen the X-Men films. I don't need to see the X-Men films done even worse than they already are, especially on network television. And if I want, like, a copycat mutant show, I'll watch Mutant X before I ever watch Heroes.
Did you just take a jab at Bryan Singer?
Yes, I did. And I'm pretty much referring to the fact that, you know, X2 was fine. X1 was great. But, you know, it's like, after a while, I don't even, when we covered him in Amwire, I don't even think I actually watched all the way through all three of those films.
Well, X-Men 3, Singer had nothing to do with that
trilogy. I know that. I didn't say he did. But
so
basically, I'm taking a jab at Heroes more than Singer, because if, like I said, if I want an X-Men, you know, TV or movie type of experience, I'll watch the X-Men films before I ever watch Heroes, because all Heroes is a copycat of X-Men.
Kinda. I started watching Heroes because of Ali Larter, but I stayed for Zachary Quinto.
That's strange.
Hey, he, like I said, he steals the show. He steals anything he's in.
He just has that awesome presence.
He does. And the guy, actually, someone told me he actually directed some episodes of Lizzie McGuire.
Probably.
I don't know if that's true, because I never looked it up, but somebody told me that he did. I like that show, too.
You know, it's funny, again, with this whole episode that, you know, me coming from the fact that I very rarely watch network TV anymore, the two channels I watch all the time are HGTV and the Disney Channel. That's it. Because Cartoon Network now is going live action, which they really can't call it a Cartoon Network anymore if they're going to show nothing but Destroy, Build, Destroy. Bastards.
I only ever watched Adult Swim, and that started acting live action content a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't even watch Cartoon Network. I see it as a failed network, in my opinion.
The only reason I watch it is because of that show, Superhero Squad.
Never heard of it.
It's so basically an updated take on the Marvel characters.
Oh, you know what? I have to, since we're talking about TV shows and we started talking about Cartoon Network, I have to admit, there is, and I'm going to use air quotes here, there is one reality television show that I have watched. it is called Total Drama Island.
Oh, God.
No.
No, I know. I'm not saying it as a bad thing. Go ahead, but
I have watched it from beginning to end. And I'm not ashamed to admit, a lot of shows that if I'm watching TV, I'm usually on my computer at the same time. And shows end up being like a background, like a soundtrack to what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, I'd be on my computer and Total Drama Island would come on. I would watch listen to the episode that was on. And I heard the cartoon, I'm watching Cartoon Network and I hear an animated character say boobies. And I look up at my TV, and there are pixelated boobs on my TV screen. And I was like, that's it. I'm watching this show. And I went online, and I downloaded the entire thing. I watched it from beginning to end. It is a great parody of reality television. And it's kind of a shame that it's a Canadian cartoon that gets re-aired on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
So if you know where to look on the internet, it can be spoiled for you, because the actors that did the voice actors had to sign non-disclosure agreements to not talk about who wins the contest.
Right.
While it aired, so it really was like a reality it was scripted reality television, which made it great, but it was like a parody in and of itself, and the fact that you didn't know who won. But when it was airing on Cartoon Network, you could go online and already find out who won.
Right.
But Cartoon Network did their best to like build up, even doing like promos about who do you think is going to win? It comes down to these two people. That was like the last great thing I saw on Cartoon Network, and they actually did try to do a follow up, which is a
total drama action.
Which is the exact same, all the same people. They just moved the reality thing to somewhere else, and they started spoofing like movies.
Mm-hmm.
I got like halfway through it. I kind of lost interest in it because it just wasn't as sharp as the first one.
Yeah.
But that's, I just wanted, because reality television and Cartoon Network. I just had to throw that in there because I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Oh no, I mean I tried watching some of Total Drama Island, but I eventually kind of lost interest, not really in the show itself, but I kind of lost interest in watching Cartoon Network. Of course, this was back when I still had Boomerang, which, like Steve said, he watches all old stuff, and that's, thank God for DVD.
Well, see, yeah. We have AT&T U-verse, and they have Boomerang on there. One of the first things I did is I went in and season pass, like Centurions and some other things, and I watched like one episode of each of them, and I was like, I can't watch this.
Well,
it was not at all what I remembered from being like a kid. That has to do with what we were talking about the other day. I think, I don't know if it was Facebook or Twitter, but it's like the thing in question was about Transformers, and you saying Michael Bay was raping your childhood, and I said
I say that all the time.
Right, but in my opinion, I don't think he's raping anything, because like I said on Twitter, it's like the goal of the TV, the cartoon that we watched when we were kids, was to make us want to get our parents to spend the money to buy those toys, and if I'm not mistaken, that's exactly what the movies do.
Well, to piggyback off of that, unfortunately, I don't know if you've heard the news, but apparently, supposedly, we don't know yet, but apparently the new Transformers cartoon is going to be set in the movie universe, which is going to suck, at least for me anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Doesn't it depend on who's doing the animation and all the production work?
No, not really, because it's all... It's all on Hasbro. Hasbro's new network with Discovery, the Hub.
So you're telling me that if you had all the voice actors from the original series along with that production team, just with an updated graphic style, that it would suck?
No, okay, what I'm saying is that if it can, if they are trying, okay, Transformers 3 comes out July 1st, 2011. If they take this new cartoon that they have and basically bridge the gap between Revenge of the Fallen and the next film, I am going to be so pissed.
Okay.
Basically, that's what I'm saying. It's basically like those in-between graphic novels and stuff like that. You know, stuff that ties, you know, what happened during the time that Revenge of the Fallen stopped being popular and the time that the third film comes out, is what I'm saying. Now, we already know, I think, that Peter Cullen will be Prime. I think. I'm not sure. I know a lot of the original voice actors, like Michael Bell and a few other people, have been auditioning for this cartoon. I know David Kaye has, because he kind of spilled it to us that he has. Or at the time of our interview with him, he had read all the information on it. But, you know, it's just my initial opinion that if it's set in movie universe, I'm not going to like it.
I guess I just don't. I don't see the issue with it. To me, it just comes down to production values. That's all anything really comes down to me. I don't care where it's set. It's just, If it's done right and if the cartoon's done right and it treats the source material with more respect than the movies, I don't see what the big problem would be.
Well, like I said, the problem would be tying it into the movie universe. Like I said, if it's a bumper between the second and third film, that's where I have the problem.
Well, that doesn't really bother me because I look back at like younger, like we did an episode on the lunch table where we were talking about toys and I accidentally stumbled across like toys that, I looked up Dino Riders and Sky Commanders and Starcom and some other things that I had when I was a kid, and I remember watching those TV shows, like on television, like over and over and over again for like what in my perception was for forever, but in reality those TV shows only lasted for 13 episodes,
right?
But in my kid mind, looking back now, those TV shows were specifically designed to sell toys made by Tyco. And that's fine. I wish they would do that now for a lot of things. I mean, cause that was like, that's a good idea. So if they do that again and the TV show bridges the gap between Revenge of the Fallen and the new one and the production values are top notch and it doesn't go on any farther than when the movie comes out, awesome.
Well, see, that's the issue, though. The problem with, like, Transformers Animated gets a bum rap. It honestly does. There are a lot of, you know, super fans out there that love that show, and I, at first, was not one of them, but I am now. But Transformers Animated had the sad, sad death of the fact that, oh my god, we can't produce these toys anymore for animated because we have this new movie coming out and we have to do all these toys and then we have to do all the repaints of these original toys that we did for the second movie line and yada yada yada, and Transformers Animated fell by the wayside. They canceled the line before they even released the final season 3 figures. Now, granted, we are still going, I mean, RC and Cybertron Mode Ratchet have already showed up in US retail. We are going to be getting Rodimus and Fugitive Waspinator and a whole bunch of other toys, but the animated toy line had to end because the fucking movie got released. That pisses me off.
That's Hasbro, dude. That has nothing to do with the movie.
Oh, yes, it does.
No, that's Hasbro not having enough faith in their own products.
Yeah, well, no, it has to do with Hasbro wanting to promote the new line before the current line even had a chance to end peacefully.
Right, not having the faith to go through with it because they're not going to be able to sell it.
Yeah. I don't know. I still maintain that I prefer watching TV from the 80s and 90s rather than today. Like I said, there's a few select shows like Gossip Girl and 24 and NCIS. Smallville, not really, but, you know, those shows, you know, those three are pretty much the only network TV shows I even watch anymore. all these rip-offs and not really rip-offs, but all these spin-offs like NCIS LA, CSI Miami, CSI New York. No. Give me the original. Don't give me some crappy shit with fucking David Caruso in it.
That's bastard. Yes. That's a station that doesn't even exist to me.
Yeah. What in the hell was that noise?
That was my cell phone.
Oh, okay. Sounded like my iTunes was finished burning a CD. Oh. Do we have anything else we want to say about the fact that network TV sucks?
I just want to say that because we were talking about remakes and stuff like that, and you just brought up shows from like the 80s and stuff like that. I want to say that, in my opinion, I watched when the remake of Knight Rider hit the air.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the pilot. Unfortunately, they made a lot of changes from the pilot to what actually showed up on TV.
Yeah.
So I didn't approve of it initially, but then I actually went back. I downloaded like half of the first season of Knight Rider.
Mm-hmm.
That show, both shows are just as awful. I mean, it's an age thing. I can't watch. I mean, I still respect Knight Rider from when I was a kid, but I can't say that the remake of Knight Rider was any worse. I think that the first part of like of the season of the remake that was released was like all over the place and they had no idea what they were doing. But when they realized they were getting canceled and they made really quick budget cuts, they actually streamlined the show quite a bit down to like just three actors in a car, and it actually worked a lot better.
You know, I like the fact that once episode 12 hit, Knight to King's Pawn, the episode where Carr came back, I like the fact that they are stretching out, that they were stretching out and tying it back into the original show of having the same concept idea. But yeah, it kind of fell flat on its ass. As far as the original show, I have always and will always love that show. It doesn't matter how cheesy it is. That's just what it was in the 80s.
Well, I'm not saying cheese is bad. I like a good helping of cheese. I'm not saying that you're doing this. It just really bugs me when people are like, you know, the original is so much better or you know, but it's like, it's not.
Well, yeah, it is. In comparison to the two Knight Riders, Knight Rider in the 80s lasted 4 years. This Knight Rider barely got off the ground due to the fact that NBC dropped every single promotion for it. They started websites and everything else. They had Ford behind them. Ford eventually dropped out. They no longer had, by the 13th episode, there was no commercials airing for new Knight Rider whatsoever.
But what I'm saying is that the acting, the production values of the show are not, they were similar. It's like I'm not sure I'm articulating it the right way. I'm not saying I like one show more than the other. Obviously, when I was a kid, a talking car was like the greatest thing on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
Right? And a car still is the coolest thing on the face of the planet. I'm just saying that the Knight Rider when I was a kid and I watched Knight Rider, that stuff was the shit. When I watched like Knight Rider and then I watched, you know, and I even watched all the movies and then I watched like Knight Rider 2000 and then I watched, you know, I watched the pilot for the new Knight Rider and then all of Knight Rider. It all felt the same to me. Like I understand that ABC dropped NBC dropped the ball on promotion because NBC doesn't know how to promote shit. But the one thing that the creators of the show, not the network, the guys that stood behind the show, in my opinion, they captured the essence of what the 80s show was. But because they did that, the 80s stuff does not sit well now.
See, I think it does.
I don't think so, because it's like, it's the same problem that people had with Superman Returns. Singer made a direct sequel to Superman 2. He didn't go and make his own thing. The guys that remade Knight Rider, they didn't try and make it their own.
Right, they made it a sequel to the original series, but the thing is, though, I can see the continuities tying together, but I can also see how other Knight Rider fans would have a problem with the new series. I personally don't. I like it for certain aspects of it, but I will always stand by the original Knight Rider as being the best out of the two.
Well, I'm not saying one's better than the other. I was never saying that. I'm just saying that they captured the essence, and I don't think 80s works now. When you've got movies like the Dark Knight that have like taken things that were like all bright and colorful and do like another spin, and you've got other shows that, like, in my opinion, Knight Rider should have been more like I can't really put my finger on it because there's nothing like it, but somewhere between just like a traditional cop drama, more or less, with like the production values of like a cop drama with, you know, a science fiction talking car.
So like, basically, you're wanting to mix Knight Rider with The Shield.
I didn't even watch The Shield. I don't. FX doesn't.
I love. Oh, okay, now, granted, you can say what you want about FX, but The Shield was their very first original television property back in 2002. I love that show. That show is just awesome.
Or even if you took something like, I'm not saying that Shield has, I'm not saying FX has bad, low production values. I like Rescue Me and I like Nip Tuck. Okay. I've never seen Shield. I'm not going to say it's bad because all I hear about it is good things. If you'd taken something like The Shield and just put like a talking car in there, like, for some reason, I think that would have worked better now than what they were doing. Not to mention that I always felt like the new Knight Rider was a ripoff of Viper.
No.
Yes, the transforming car. Don't tell me that wasn't a ripoff of Viper.
No, it actually wasn't. It was a ripoff of Transformers. That's where it, I mean, Grant. Okay, I will give you that. The fact that Viper was the one that kind of started it all. As far as transforming cars, as far as television, but really, when it went from, in the pilot of the 2008 series, he didn't transform, but he had the nano things, the nano machines.
Which was reminding me of Viper in the pilot.
Right, but it was cool as hell on that Mustang. And then you go to series where you have him transforming like Optimus Prime in the 2007 Transformers movie.
Which makes no sense to me.
No, it doesn't. And I agree to that fact. It doesn't make any sense to have a transforming kit whatsoever.
Not to mention the proportions are physically impossible for a Mustang to turn into an F-150.
Well, you know, it was Ford advertised, so...
That's the other thing. There was no the show was so outlandish. Like, in my opinion, Heroes is a more grounded show, and even Bionic Woman was a more grounded show than Knight Rider was. Like, Knight Rider took its, like, we've got a talking car and it can do all this crap, and it looked so bad. Not to mention that the turbo mode that Kid had. That made an okay-looking car look flat-out bad.
There was one part that I absolutely loved in the series. I don't remember what episode it is. I'm going to have to go back and look. There's an episode where Michael Knight Jr. tries something different with Kit, and he turbo boosts at a 90-degree angle to get up over onto some other freeway, highway, road thing. And just the 90-degree angle vertical turbo boost, I thought that was such a cool effect. Just the way that it was done, you know, but I kind of tend to agree with you that the turbo boost wasn't what it could have been or wasn't what it used to be. The fact that I don't understand why all these film production people and television production people have to show us the inside of the nitrous tank. when shit goes boom and the car goes faster.
You can blame that on Fast and the Furious.
Well, true, but I mean the same thing is I don't get that though.
I don't either. Well, you've given a list of the stuff that you watch real quick. I just want to mention some stuff that I watch just real quick. This is like a small sampling because I can't remember everything I watch off the top of my head. Actually, hang on just a second.
You still awake over there, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
I think I put him to sleep.
Don't worry. We do that on a nightly basis.
Let's see. I have to some recommendations for good TV shows for listeners out there if they're interested in TV. I have to recommend Burn Notice. I have to recommend Castle if you're a fan of Nathan Fillion at all. I have to recommend, and I don't know if I've said this on your podcast before, but I've said it on mine and I say it all the time. Friday Night Lights, which sadly to me is confirmed, unconfirmed to be canceled. They basically gave the actors the right to look for more other work after they wrap the fifth season. it's not. They didn't say canceled. They just said you can go look for other work. Fringe is actually a pretty decent show. Gossip Girl, I will agree with you on that. Mercy, if you like Scrubs or Rescue Me, Mercy's actually pretty good. I just started watching Modern Family. That's actually pretty good. Smallville.
Meh.
Does anyone watch Sanctuary or Warehouse 13?
I don't.
Yeah, I watch both of those just for the fun of it. Because Sanctuary just looks like a video game. Like an old, like, Sega CD video game. It's fun to watch. So, yeah, I mean, those are, like, shows that I have, like, way more shows than that I watch on a weekly basis, but those are some of, like, my top tier, like, the ones that I wait till, like, I watch all the crap stuff that I watch all the shows because I like them, but I have shows that I actually consider crap or throwaway shows, filler shows, and I watch my shows in order of, like, from my least favorite to my most favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say it's a toss-up between Castle, Friday Night Lights, and Gossip Girl, if I had to pick three.
Cool. What about you, Steve?
Heroes.
Stupid Natural.
Shut up. You're the one that abandoned your show.
Yes, but that's because it sucked, and I can freely admit that it does.
No, Supernatural's good. Heroes, I'm still kind of on the fence about. I'll have to wait and see what they do with the next batch of the show anyhow. As for just TV in general, I kind of find that I like a lot of the older shows. Now this is just my opinion. I don't, you know, I'm not going to try and push my opinion on other people, but
it's the wrong
I think
opinion.
That the original versions of some of the shows are better, whereas, I mean, and there is a chance that sometimes the newer incarnation is better than the previous one. But for, like, for instance, I just got back into the Batman animated series. I find that more interesting and a lot more fun to watch than any of the newer incarnations of Batman.
Like, you mean like the New Adventures of Batman and the Justice League stuff?
Well, no, I mean like...
No, Batman, he means like Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Oh, I can't watch Brave and the Bold.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have anything against it, but I find the DC Animated Universe shows to be probably the best incarnation of those. I don't know. I just feel like they're dumbing down a lot of the shows for younger generations.
Absolutely. That's one of the problems I have with TV.
That's why I buy DVDs of all the old shows that I liked. That way when I have kids, that's what they're watching.
Well, you know what, Steve? I have that exact same opinion. That's why I have 3,000 TV shows on my hard drive.
Awesome.
Every show that I've watched since 2004, I still have it. Because I dread the day when everything is reality-based TV and I have a camera that's filming me in my living room.
Yeah, I'll never have a camera in my living room, but I'm TV as it stands right now. I like all the old stuff. Anything beyond that, just kind of I kind of shy away from it. Anything new.
Just out of curiosity, since we're all here and this conversation doesn't have to take place on Twitter or Facebook, but what is your guys' opinions of The Batman?
It was okay. It wasn't. It just, for me personally, I like certain aspects of it.
I love the cape.
Yeah, the cape was awesome.
They got it right.
Yeah, I actually didn't really pay attention to, like, I watched, like, the first two seasons in reruns on Boomerang, and I actually have the fifth season on DVD because that's when they started doing team-ups, and they brought in the not really the Justice League, but they brought in, like, the Hall of, for some strange reason, they decided to pay homage to the Hall of Justice from Super Friends and have it in space on a crater, kind of like trying to mimic what the Watchtower looked like in Justice League.
It was probably rights.
No, I know that. I understand that, but that was just one of the aspects I did not like about it.
Which makes no sense to me. I can't understand how that works.
If you
are Warner Brothers Animation, or I'm sorry, if you're Warner Brothers and you own DC and you have a division called Warner Brothers Animation that is going to handle all of your animation stuff, why do they not have the right to use every frickin' DC character? I cannot understand that. Like, I didn't realize this until I read the Wikipedia entry about Justice League Unlimited, but characters, like, they were, like, the storylines that they were telling, they had to not, drop certain characters altogether because they stopped using Aquaman because WB was going to try and launch the Aquaman live action show with mm-hmm. Smallville. Like, why do they have to stop using frickin' Aquaman in the cartoon because they're launching a live action TV show?
It doesn't even connect.
Or wait, my favorite one. Flash in Smallville becomes Impulse because they're getting ready to make a movie and they don't want Flash from Smallville to interfere with Flash in the live-action movie. I don't understand. You're one studio. You're Warner Brothers. You own DC Comics. Why do you not have... Why are there limitations with your creative teams?
Well, what I was going to say was, you know, there was a whole... as far as why, I think the Joker only appeared in like 5, maybe 6 episodes of Justice League throughout its entire run, and also there was a bat embargo on characterizations for the Batman villains when Justice League was airing. As far as why they couldn't use certain characters or whatever, the only thing I can make an analogy to is the fact that when, I know this is going to be bad, but when Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman was on, DC was going to marry them in the comics, but the show called them apparently and said, hey, can you not do that because we're kind of aiming for that in our show, and that's where the death of Superman came about. I don't understand how it works either. I'm not really sure whatsoever. If people would like to let us know, you can call our voicemail line at 502-526-5821, or you can send an email to steve@geekcastradio.com.
So that's just always like, I mean, it's not like they're Marvel Studios and they've got movies all over the, like, with every studio.
Sure.
You know, it's DC, that's one of the things. And Warner Brothers is a good studio. Don't get me wrong. They're like easily my top favorite. And you know, it's a shame that they have it's almost a crime to me that they have all of the DC characters because they put money behind their movies. And because they put so much money behind their movies, they can't make you know, they can't pull the Marvel stuff because they're the only studio making it, you know? So you don't get, like, you don't get your Superman. You get Superman and Batman, but we haven't seen, we're getting a Green Lantern in 3D, blow my brains out. And, you know, we're going to get a Wonder Woman, and Flash is moving forward too now, but it's like, it's good that we're seeing these movies now, and I'm glad that Warner Brothers finally, you know, actually went into their piggy bank that they built with The Matrix and with Lord of the Rings, and they're starting to use some of that money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost a shame that they're the only studio that has them, because it's kind of like, if one of those movies flops or doesn't make its money back, that's like the end of it.
Well, see, that's the problem, and that's one of the reasons why, and I know we're kind of veering off of how network TV declined, but one of the things is between, not really between other studios and Warner Brothers, but between Marvel and DC. I much prefer the Marvel Universe films to DC films, because DC films, they don't put out a lot. It took them 8 years to do a Batman film. And then, you know, of course we have The Dark Knight, which is all well and good and, you know, one of the best movies ever. But, you know, from 1995 until 2005, DC or Warner Brothers did nothing with any of their characters in film.
The problem is that I have read more Marvel comics than I ever have DC comics, because I can't read DC comics. I just can't.
Yeah.
I get to the end and I swear to God, it's like there's pages missing. I get to the end of the graphic novels and it's like you're there's like this climax coming, and the climax is on one page, and then in two pages the entire comic is wrapped up, and I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's kind of like that, but Marvel characters aren't like that. For some reason, Marvel characters are a little more in depth. There's a little more, there's like different, like more shades to the characters, more color, more life.
Well, Marvel's always been behind their movies. I mean, okay, granted, Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk were the first two they actually ever produced themselves. But like with X-Men and Spider-Man and Daredevil and all the movies that have been out so far, Marvel has backed them 100%.
Actually, you'd be surprised how much say Marvel had over Spider-Man, X-Men, and Daredevil.
Okay, but what I'm saying is,
those movies are the reason they made their own company.
I know that, but what I'm saying is that, you know, the Marvel name is behind those films. Granted, whether Marvel had anything to say about them or not, for the most part, save Spider-Man 3 and X-Men 3, they were good films. You know,
But here's the thing. I think the DC characters make better movies.
I think the DC characters make better animated movies than they do live action. You know, outside of The Dark Knight, the DC characters make better animated film than real film.
Well, that's okay, because I have faith in the next Superman, because one, it's not being called Superman. It's being called the Man of Steel. It's being written by David Goyer and Jonathan Nolan, and being overseen by Christopher Nolan. Like, DC has pretty much handed over their entire, all of their stuff to them.
Thank God for that, because if we got another brooding Superman, I would shoot myself, fucking Bryan Singer.
I don't think it was bad.
Superman Returns was the worst film ever.
I could watch
Superman. Superman Returns was worse than Supergirl, and that's saying something.
I enjoyed Superman Returns, but see, the problem I have, I can see why people had a problem with Superman Returns. I didn't, but it's kind of like, at the same time, I wish Singer had done his own thing. But he did an amazing job at staying true to Richard Donner stuff. But because he stayed in that mold, and again, those movies were like 70s, 80s. That doesn't work. Now, it doesn't.
Nope.
So it's that there's like a perfect example of he should have made it his own. He took X-Men and he made it his own, which is why it can stand on its own. Whereas his Superman doesn't stand on its own, because he just was like, everything has to be like this, and it only would have gone this far. But I'll tell you what, the special effects in that movie were amazing. I can watch him save that plane over and over and over again.
I just don't like the way Superman was characterized. And the S was way too damn small. I mean, you have Brandon Routh, who, you know, is physically whatever, and then you have this little teeny S in the middle of his fucking chest. You know, you could barely friggin' see it, but,
I didn't have a problem seeing it.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess, Steve, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, not really.
Thank you for joining us here on GeekCast Radio. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. The first is you can stop by www.geekcastradio.com and find all the other podcasts there. You can join our forums at predaconempire.com/nexus, and you can leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. You can follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GeekCast Radio. Mine is TFG1 Mike. And Michael, what is your Twitter?
BoothNinja81.
Steve?
SCP21.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of GeekCast Radio and wish you'll join us next time. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And Michael Powers.
Saying thank you for listening, and until next time.
Later.